Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood on the Eshcast.
On Tuesday, the J-pop and alternative hotspot hits your eardrums on No Borders, No Race.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, with the live issues program's post-episode recaps. On live right after your favorite shows and taking all of your questions.
It's going down each week, only in the land of Ash. Nerdcore at its finest.
And now, a Boston Bastard Brigade special presentation. E3 2015. Everything was Game of the Year.
Hello, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to a special Boston Bastard Brigade A-List Daily Gamertag Radio Collaborative Post E3 2015 podcast show. I am your host, King Baby Duck, and I'm being joined by two of my great buddies in the gaming press realm. First and foremost, he is the George Clooney of video game journalism, pre-Tomorrowland George Clooney, of course, and he's apparently Reggie Watts' new best friend, yep. The DCD.
That was a pretty nice capper. I was at the airport for like a 9:45 flight out of the city, and everybody's like, oh, you're leaving too early, and I go to the vending machine, just real quick story, I go to the vending machine to get like a Twix and everything like that, and then I go back to the ticket counter and I go check on something, turn around, there's Reggie Watts, and I'm like, what the hell was in that Twix bar? That was great. Gave me a fist bump. Let me get a picture and everything. And he was just friggin' awesome.
I'm still crossing my fingers that guy's going to be the next Doctor Who, because I think he would be an amazing 13th Doctor.
You might get to that point. See, you have to be like a certain age to reach Doctor Who, I think. He'll be there in about 15 years.
Maybe. And, of course, our other buddy who is joining us from Gamertag Radio, a podcast show that practically owned E3 this year, Poston J.
What is up, y'all?
Yo, congrats, man.
Thank you. I literally just got in last night, and I maybe only woke up about 2 hours ago because I've never been so physically and emotionally drained in my life, but man, what an E3 it was this year. It was my fourth, but it felt like a brand new experience. I mean, I thought I was ready for it, but the sheer scale of things, the scope of what they showed, and the amount of like hype that I experienced, it was like I was a teenager again watching it on television back when, you know, G4 Tech TV was a thing. I cannot believe how much fun that was. I can't believe it's over.
I know.
You guys agree with this? Was it the fastest E3 you've ever been to?
It felt super fast.
It did fly by. It did.
God.
That's the problem when you're having fun. It always flies by.
Yeah.
The only time that E3 doesn't fly by is when something really drags, like James Cameron's speech at the Ubisoft press conference during Avatar. Good Lord.
Absolutely.
You want to talk about dragging. Half an hour, no film footage, no game footage. Let's just have a speech. Because it's like college, right?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, they have the platform you're going to talk, but I mean, I got to give props to, I know we'll get into this in a second, but all the companies, I think, knocked their press conferences out of the park. There was so little no dead time in everybody's that it just really impressed me. I'm sure we'll get some differing opinions in a second, but I mean, I was surprised firsthand that I at no point was ever like, okay, let's move on. I mean, hell, even the sports games that EA showed were exciting in context of how they presented them compared to what they did last year, which was a night and day difference. But yeah, we'll get into that in a second. But overall, just absolutely had a blast E3.
And you know what?
There's enough hours in the day to talk about all the stuff that we saw.
I know.
So much stuff.
And here's the thing, too. Completely all of it positive. I haven't run into someone who went, oh, E3 was terrible, or E3 was meh. everyone had great things to say about it. I think this was the most positive E3 probably in almost a decade, in my honest opinion.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, it was one of the better ones I've been to, that's for sure, because it just seemed like there were very few disappointments this year. In fact, we were sitting around right before I got on my flight and everything like that.
Yes.
It was you, me, Brandon Hofer from... Well, he knows where he's from. Sorry. it's a little blank right now. And, you know, Rochelle from Liquor Sisterhood. And we were just sitting around talking about... Oh, I'm sorry. He's from Gaming Target. Brandon Hofer's from Gaming Target.
Yeah,
but we were just talking about, like, we couldn't really think of any major disappointments. I mean, there were a couple of minor things, you know, like whatever happened with the Twitch party.
Yeah.
Didn't get too much to do all of that. But, you know, it's just... There was really a lot more going on.
We couldn't even pick a game of the year. That was like, wow.
It was that kind of argument. We were just
Wait.
It was Starfox. No. It's everything. It's everything. It's everything's game of the year.
Everything.
No matter what your interests were, I think they got catered to. No matter how, if you were nostalgic as hell, there was Final Fantasy VII and Shenmue 3 announcements, which blew me out of my chair. I would have lost a very bad bet if I bet against this, because I would have to like, you know, the cutting edge stuff of the AAA, and this is the best indie lineup I have ever seen at E3.
Agreed. Unraveled just, looks beautiful.
Oh my god, Unraveled.
Dude, I mean, Unraveled is just like the tip of the iceberg. Mirror's Edge Catalyst.
Yes.
Battlefront, you know, EA had like the worst booth management, because it was like the VIP line for Battlefront, you still have to wait like an hour. But regardless, I mean, once you got in there, it was pretty damn awesome. You know, some things were definitely worth the wait. But I mean, you know, I just every corner there was even surprise. Even like the smaller stuff that you thought would be a disappointment wasn't, because I remember like going up to Metroid Prime Federation Heroes. This was shown during the press conference, and everybody just started backlash. Oh, it's not a real Metroid game. Oh, it's kiddie. Like, oh, this is gonna fucking suck. You know, going on and on. I played it. And it's actually pretty good. I mean, I think people are just brushing it off because it's a different skin, you know? But didn't Kirby's Epic Yarn go through that when it was announced? Because it was so different from the other Kirby games, and it was awesome. So, you know, that just goes to show you Nintendo haters. Just get something a chance, man.
I know. That's the thing. I can't stand the Nintendo haters because they complain over nothing. And they have nothing to back up their complaints about. It was like, oh, Star Fox doesn't look so great. How come?
Puppets here. I don't understand what's with
who did, the puppets. Okay, were awesome. Who didn't like those puppets? Those
puppets are great. And then last year when they had the robot chicken people doing that.
Yeah, that was great.
It was fantastic. Now, it's hard to choose because you had Oculus, Bethesda, EA, Ubisoft, Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, Square Enix. Who had the best presentation? Who had the best press event before it all went down?
Well, I can tell you who had the worst. Now, it's true EA did announce Mass Effect. That's great that we're getting a new Mass Effect and everything like that. But I think the way their press conference went, they got to structure things a little better, built themselves up. They started with Mass Effect and they ended with Pele and FIFA 16. I'm sure that's big news for the soccer world, but they should have started off with FIFA, then thrown in Unraveled, then thrown in Mass Effect. Had the pacing been better on that front, I would have liked their press conference a lot more. As for everybody else, though, I mean, let's be honest. We started off this day, you know, with like, oh, this can't be topped. Oh, this can't be topped. Because we watched Microsoft announcing backward compatibility.
Yes, which made my jaw drop. I actually stood up and went, yeah, he listened.
You know, Gears 4, Rare Replay, they nailed it out of the park. I mean, even though they had, like, you know, wheel down a car from the ceiling, that was kind of interesting. But, I mean, it was really a great show. And then we went to EA, but we got EA aside. But then we went to Ubisoft. And I got to tell you, I wanted Beyond Good and Evil 2, but I will take a South Park sequel.
Yes.
And Trey Parker coming out cursing and fucking forget. Yeah, you know, just, yeah, exactly. Curse, baby. And, of course, Ubisoft also nailed it with the new Ghost Recon Wildlands.
Yes, absolutely.
That looks phenomenal. And then we were like, oh, these are shows are great. Well, Sony's got a lot to do. Sony's got a lot to do. And then what do they do? Like, within a matter of an hour and a half, we get fucking Last Guardian, we get Final Fantasy VII Remake, and even though it's on a Kickstarter, we get Shenmue 3. I can't choose one. They all had
no! I can't!
Even Bethesda with Dishonored 2, Fallout Shelter, which, by the way, clogged the App Store for like 2 days after it came out. Unbelievable. And then, of course, those cool figurines, which are actually going for like 200 something.
I
know.
I
wanted to steal a buddy set and be like, well, you know what? I do have to make up expenses. Sorry.
Yeah. But even before the Bethesda one, Oculus did one on the Thursday before E3 began.
Yeah. I'm going to say the technology is great. Seeing Insomniac Games and other companies, you know, CCP working on these properties and everything. But God, I couldn't help but think that like Paul Merlucky and his team were straining to get applause out of the audience.
They kind of were, because I did notice that with the Oculus Touch. It was like, yeah, come on, clap.
Come on, I'll give you a quarter. But, you know, I mean, it was still a good showcase, and I do like the idea of an Insomniac-driven VR game, that, especially one that looks as badass as, you know,
Edge of Nowhere made my jaw drop when I played that.
Oh, that was a really cool game. When I played it, I really enjoyed that one too. So, you know, I'll tell you, they all had good press conferences. There were a couple of things that were awkward, but we got a lot of announcements. And next year's show is going to be even nuttier, because we're going to have Nintendo's NX system. We're going to have, you know, some playable Mass Effect, some playable Gears 4, some other announcements. It's going to be crazy.
And I believe that next year, I have a feeling that Nintendo might bring back the live press conference for the Nintendo NX.
I hope so.
Because I feel like it would be a grave mistake if they didn't.
But you know what? They need to bring the puppets.
Yeah.
Puppets on stage, absolutely.
Puppets on stage. And then just do the dance.
Yes.
Out of nowhere, they just start dancing. I'm like, what the hell's going on? I don't even care. Just Reggie doing his wax on, wax off dance, or whatever the hell that was.
And then I have, like, Statler Waldorf watching from the balcony. Like, oh, that wasn't half bad. Well, it wasn't half good either.
God, yeah, let's get in contact with them. You're already writing the show for them. Yeah. Like you guys said, just exceptional work all the way from every press conference. I guess if I have to give it to somebody, I'm going to give it to Microsoft because of how much pressure they were under to deliver, because it seemed like Sony was, I'm not going to say play it safe, but they knew they were in the lead and they were confident about that. But between Gears 4 and Uncharted 4, they still realized that the hardcore matter, and we're going to show you how much cool shit we can do with next-gen technology and prove to you, yeah, I mean, PC gaming is always going to be the higher upper echelon in, but these consoles can be designed for these experiences, for these first-party titles that make you go, oh, wow, you know, I either have justified my purchase of these consoles, or, you know, I need to start thinking about getting one, because for me, as these games come out, as you start getting these not just like games, but these experiences, things like Metal Gear Solid 5 and Fallout 4 and, like, you know, Final Fantasy 15, Kingdom Hearts, you know, Ghost Recon Wildlands, these large, expansive worlds where at first glance you're like, how can they even begin to pull that off on consoles? And you just realize when you specialize the development and when you take the development seriously for the consoles and don't treat them as port machines,
exactly,
you can accomplish absolutely amazing things. That's the thing. It's not always graphics, because that's why Unravel floored me, because the atmosphere, the design, the sound, a lot of games really, you know, shook me up. One of my favorite examples was Ubisoft's new hack and slash team based sword game
For Honor. Yeah,
that took me out of nowhere. It's just I think I saw the trailer and I was like, oh, okay. But until I played it with my crew against another set of four people, I was like, oh my God, this is a stupid amount of fun. This is a game I didn't even know I needed until I was decapitating a real person in front of me. And it's just so satisfying. You stick it in, turn it, slice their head off, kick them away, and you're like, yeah, that just happened. What are you gonna do about it? Just that sense of personal effect that you get from these amazing experiences that you can't get anywhere else. And again, go ahead, DCD.
No, I was going to say, not to mention, here's what floored me. When Sony had Guerrilla Games come out, and instead of getting like another Killzone or anything like that, we're getting something completely fresh.
Horizon.
I swear to God, yeah, Horizon Zero Dawn reminded me of Enslaved so badly.
Enslaved Odyssey to the West?
Fantastic. Wow.
I even got a little bit of hint of, remember BC from years ago on the original Xbox? I even got hints of that, of like, oh my God. Because for me, I was fully expecting a first-person shooter, and I'd have been happy with that, because Guerrilla makes a damn good first-person shooter.
Absolutely.
Killzone Shadowfall to this day, it's fantastic. But the fact that they went crazy and were like, no, caution to the wind, female protagonist, dystopian future, robot dinosaurs, you don't know what's happening. I'm like, yes, yes, yes. I want more things like that. Surprise me with stuff I didn't like expect. Because I feel like every genre has been covered 10 times over, and they get better and better. But these new genres that are emerging left and right, it makes me so ecstatic to be a gamer right now. Because it's not just the indie people blazing trails. Even the major developers are like, we need to shake up the industry. We cannot just rely on the safe things. Because we're getting the safe bets, and we're also getting the crazy new ideas. Because the passion is there, and I feel like the publishers finally understand these are the kind of things that get people out of their chairs.
Absolutely.
Saying, holy shit. I didn't even know that, we needed this style of game, but here it is.
And this is why Hollywood is failing.
Yes,
their audiences, because they're trying to do the same damn thing over and over again. Here's some more superhero movies. Here's some more action movies. Here's another PG-13 Terminator film. Oh, that last one went down really well.
Actually, it's rated R, but it's still going to be shit.
Oh, they actually upped the rating. Good. Okay.
But it's still going to be shit.
All right. But
you already know what's happening in that movie. They reveal it in the trailers.
Absolutely.
Oh, John Connor's not who he says he is. Well, thanks for the movie.
Yes. But the thing that just took my breath away was the fact that this freshness just tasted so great, and being able to go hands-on with it. I'm going to be saying this as a person that isn't a big fan of, of the Halo series. I never could really get into it, but holy shit, Warzone is amazing.
Yeah,
that
really
multiplayer experience, just, I had so much fun with that.
I was so impressed. Good. It was incredible, but I'll tell you this, as good as Warzone's was, there was nothing like what they presented with HoloLens.
Right?
Yes.
I saw this presentation earlier this year and everything. It's like, oh, okay, it's going to turn the room into this, turn the room into that. Then it went to the live demo and this is VR with a purpose. It's not trying to be gimmicky or anything. It's trying to open up a world in which you can actually play around it. This is like what the Kinect should have done. You know what I mean? It's just so amazing. I heard the live demo was something. There was a line out the door and around the corner for that. But it was from what I heard, it was incredible. And it really sets the tone for what, Microsoft can do with its virtual technology compared to what Sony does with Project Morpheus. I mean, it sets the stage for something bigger and not gimmicky, not Kinect-ity, if you will, I guess.
Right. It's getting to the point where, remember that movie Gamer with
Gerard Butler and such,
having that whole room set up so everything is interactive, that whole wall, I feel like it's finally reaching that point where something like that can actually happen.
Yeah, it's just a matter of seeing what it's priced at now, but if Microsoft can get the right developers and everything behind that and not make it gimmicky like the Kinect, it's really got something in place there.
Absolutely.
It's going to be really cool to see how that comes along. Just technology in general. You got Oculus. I still don't know about the long-term effects of that, but it does have some promise. The touch controllers actually, they're not bad. Because think about it. When we first grabbed on a Wii Remote, Wii Nunchuck, I was like, this thing's going to be shit. This thing's going to be terrible. And then actually, with some games, they were just fine.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's just a matter of finding an experience that adapts to the control. And maybe we'll have some. But the thing is you get sick with Oculus after playing 30 minutes. Because you guys remember the Virtual Boy effects. I don't even need to.
Yeah, it's eye cancer. But, I agree with your point. Because of me, I played my second Oculus title this year at E3, which was In Dreams, The Assembly. Which was their essentially first-person adventure-style game with, boobing on a controller, head-turning with the VR system, and then puzzle-solving on top of that. And I agree. After 30 minutes, I started to feel a little sick, but I think it's just because I wasn't used to prolonged exposure. My experiences were very short, either interactive movies or, sitting in a fixed position. But I see the potential already with the things like Morpheus, where they're all encompassing in the Oculus Rift. I can already see the potential for the world exploration, because what struck me is, seeing three-dimensional character models with your own eyes and being able to turn and examine each and every little aspect of the person, that uncanny valley sets in so quickly that you adapt to it more quickly, I think, than maybe some other games that have failed with that in the past. Mm-hmm. And I'm already seeing the potential of some really interesting experiences that you could not pull off with a two-dimensional game. And I think it's just, they have to put the development time in to make sure that this is a complete experience from start to finish, that doesn't have to rely on the gimmick of, oh, yes, that you can look around things, but it's all in the presentation, I feel like.
It's all in the... I keep using the word immersion, and I feel
it
like
is
that's...
immersion.
I feel like it's the key ingredient towards virtual reality and HoloLens as well. You need to... You just can't play the game. You need to feel the game, as it were.
You need to feel like you're instantly drawn into that world. I think my favorite example that I tried E3 this year was the kitchen demo that Project Morpheus had, where you're strapped to a chair, your hands are bound, moving the DualShock 4 moves your hands together, and it's basically like a first-person roller coaster ride of, you know, watching, you know, someone get stabbed to death, and then someone's in your face about to stab you, and just the sense of tension that only 3 minutes can give you by fully immersing you into a world. And again, I think it all just comes down to, like, you know, I think the InDreams guys put it to me, it's not an issue of polygons, it's an issue of textures. Mm-hmm. You want to make people look like people in that space, so it sells the illusion to your brain. And then it's not like you have to even think about the game mechanics, you're thinking, how would I react in this situation with my own control of my body? And that's what gets me excited, is, I mean, again, this, I've said this before, but it comes back to, I so wanted Silent Hills to be on Project Morpheus for so long.
Yeah.
But then once I experienced first-person horror, I was like, oh my god, I don't even think I'd be ready for that. I would have to be completely stone-cold sober to even think about trying.
No. What you want to do is you need to make sure that you know, you have a good pair of Depends on when you play something like Alien Isolation on the Oculus Rift.
Or Outlast. Outlast. I had... I had someone who told me he played Outlast on an Oculus, and he said he shit his pants twice while doing it.
Dude, I'm not doing that. Doom 3 was enough when I played the initial demo. I was like, no. Speaking of Doom.
Yes.
They actually showed that gameplay last year at QuakeCon, and I missed it because I had like a 7-hour flight delay. But I'll tell you, seeing it this past Sunday, it does look pretty damn good. I mean, I know Bethesda's got a lot of money going into Fallout since it's releasing this year. They're working on Dishonored 2, you know, all that stuff. But I'm glad they're actually taking the old Doom vibe and, like, redoing it for a new generation.
Yes, and let me just say this, too. I am so glad that they're taking the same route that they did with Wolfenstein: The New Order and having it so you keep all the guns that you carry. It's not one of those, like, stupid things where, oh, swap out this gun for that gun. No, I don't want to swap out this gun for that gun. I want both guns. Well, Doom is like, no problem. You can have all the guns and the chainsaw.
Yes, that chainsaw, oh my god, so visceral and so fun. but yeah, I was skeptical watching Doom because I was like, you know, thinking, can a corridor shooter still sell in this new atmosphere where people demand such open, large worlds and deep stories? But then just watching the gameplay, I'm like, that doesn't even matter if the game is that damn fun.
And De Wolfenstein: The New Order was proof of that last year.
Exactly.
And that's the thing is, like, I don't even think Doom has to go that route. They don't have to have the deep, intrinsical first-person story. It'd be amazing if they did. But just seeing that new style of gameplay with, like, the double jump and the climb and the new, you know, melee execution kills and not to mention the gorgeous lighting and textures of Mars and Hell, it just gets me pumped. Not to mention, and then you have the Doom map creator as well, which they'll have on all platforms to extend the life of the game. I just don't think
you gotta give them props for that, because as you know, the Doom community has been just big on creating their own levels within the game itself, and for Bethesda to be like, you know what, we're not gonna make it so hard on you. We're just gonna have it so you can create your own levels, simple, fast, and fun. And that's why I applaud Bethesda so much.
The whole creation of maps. I forgot the exact name of it. It's right there on the tip of my tongue. But you can just be able. Yeah, I'm sorry. Snap map. Why am I forgetting so many words? Damn my old age. No, I mean, like,
we're still recovering.
Content and let everybody try that on the fly. I mean, you know, like, it just seems that a lot more games are going for community features that are really reaching out to an audience. And Snap Map is brilliant. You know, just being, it's sort of like what Halo and Forge did, but almost like on another level, because you'll be able to, like, modify different rules and all that stuff and see how well it goes in the community. It's really something. You know, and it almost reminded me, like, you know, of another game that's going to have a big community when it comes out, too. Super Mario Maker.
Yes, I was about to mention that.
Mm-hmm. Super Mario Maker is going to be phenomenal if they can get the online features to work and you can do the level sharing. I know we're jumping all over the place here, but God, there are so many good games we saw at E3.
Yes.
But Mario Maker was just a lot of fun, and like being able to just like tweak with stuff on the fly and then have your levels rated by people and everything like that, it's going to be a huge community feature.
And what I like too about Super Mario Maker is the fact that you can't release a map until you can prove that it's beatable.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Because
you can't make it like super impossible. Let me stack this crap on top of each other. Nobody will beat this. And yeah, you actually have to make sure that you can finish. They probably have like Mario Pros. They'll be like, I'll push through this crap in like 5 seconds.
That's absolutely true. Now, before we even go deeper into the things that we loved, the question is, did anything disappoint?
Like I said, this was a show which we sat around. Yeah. We actually talked about this, like, well, what about this? What about this? You know, like I said, I was disappointed that, you know, the Twitch party had some unfortunate incidents. And I mean, those people are wonderful. I got no problem with the Twitch party.
Oh, yeah. They're, good show, they're great people.
The party just went downhill because of, like, some bad eggs, I guess I'll say. And, you know, I wasn't invited to the Shaq News party, but I heard it was a fucking bust anyway. So, and, you know, I really don't get these Nintendo people. I'm watching the digital event on YouTube and everything like that. It's got like 8,000 likes, but it has 10,000 dislikes, you know. They shit all over Metroid Prime, even though, like I said, it was great. You know, they'll shit all over Star Fox, oh, because it's different or whatever, or it's handled by Platinum Games instead of Shigeru Miyamoto directly or something. I mean, I think the bad thing to me is watching this nitpicking from the stuff that's revealed at the event. You know, like Shenmue 3, when that Kickstarter was announced, it got so much criticism. You're like, why didn't Sony just finance it or anything like that, you know? So I would say the negative, or rather the disappointment from the show didn't stem from the show itself, but from the community that's so hardcore for things to go their way. Even when some mind-blowing shit is announced, you know, like the Final Fantasy VII Remake.
They're going to find something to complain about.
They have to.
And it's stupid.
No, it's really...
Why can't you be happy?
Damn it, that's exactly. I'm going to post pictures of Bobby McFerrin everywhere, and you're going to suck it down. But it just pisses me off that so many people would be negative because something doesn't go their way. We're getting a Metroid Prime game, guys. It's not going to be like you remember it from the old style, but it's multiplayer-oriented. It's got a sports mode. I think you're going to be fine. Star Fox is a great game. You have nothing to bitch about there. You know, it's one man's opinion. As for Shenmue... You know, it is sketchy, but Kickstarter projects always are. But they always end up going the right way. I mean, take a look at what Deep Silver did with Mighty No. 9.
Yes.
Take a look at what they did with Wasteland 2. Those games are going to get major releases. They get a lot of exposure on the show floor and at Deep Silver's booth. That team really knows what they're doing, by the way. They should pick up Bloodstained. Just saying.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's just a matter of... I know a lot of people were excited during that Sony press conference. This isn't everybody. It's just some bad apples. And the fact is... The bad apples aren't going to shut the fuck up. And that's the disappointment.
Remember, it's the trolls.
They're
always
the fucking trolls.
Here's the thing. Here's what I've learned these past few years. If you want to starve off a troll, just ignore them.
Oh, fucking A. I mean, I wouldn't even give them no attention here. But that, like I said, was the disappointment of the show. I didn't run into a bad game of the bunch. Lego Dimensions, awesome. Street Fighter V, fucking A. You know, I every game I saw, Disney Infinity 3.0, it's huge. It's flipping huge. And, you know, even if I have to buy like $100-something, I mean, like even Skylanders. Skylanders, a series that, you know, was on this cusp of like, well, it's probably going to go into overkill mode. Yet this year they're introducing vehicles. They got two Nintendo characters for the Wii U version, Bowser and Donkey Kong. And it's fun as hell. Even Guitar Hero.
Yes.
When this game was announced, social aspect, new guitar with three buttons top and bottom, everything like that. People shit all over because it wasn't old school because, you know, Rock Band 4 is old school and great, by the way.
Yes.
But I played Guitar Hero Live and I got into it no problem. And plus, it's got a great social mode in which you can try out games, songs before you buy them on channels for free, which is actually a pretty damn good feature to get you kind of introduced to new songs in the game. Anyway, I'm sorry, I'm going off on a gigantic rant here, but I think the disappointment is unwarranted. There are some things that can bum you out around the show, but overall, it's just been a terrific show, and I don't have a disappointing game in the bunch, just disappointment in how those games are perceived.
Okay.
Sorry about my rant.
It's all right. Paston J, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I gotta agree with most things. I hate negativity in gaming. It's, you know, that was something I did when I was a teenager on GameFAQs, you know, a decade ago. I don't know why people still feel the need to pull that crap up, but you know, that's the internet. My disappointment is, DCD said, Street Fighter V is fucking awesome. As a Street Fighter fan, I'm disappointed I don't get to play that game until probably a long time from now.
Early 2016.
Yeah.
No, that game is so much fun. I picked it up so fast that I'm declaring it my new favorite Street Fighter. And I absolutely adore Street Fighter because I just love the new aggressive rushdown-based mechanic because that's how I play Street Fighter. And I'm just sad I won't get to play it anytime soon. But, man, what a great game. But really, disappointments, there's really nothing that I saw that I was like, eh. Because everything had its own impressive vibe to it. Everything was specialized for either those oh shit moments, that scale of the world, the story, the atmosphere, the sound. Every game I saw seemed to have something that was like a giant, you know, top of the Mario flagpole moment where it's like, whoa, no other game is doing this. Like,
yeah.
You know, some may be similar, but they all have that little special thing to them that just sets them over the top. And it just killed me that I didn't have enough time to get hands-on with all these amazing things, especially some of the more cooler VR stuff they
have. Maybe the disappointment is they should have had one extra day of
E3. No, yeah, if we do that, we're going to go down this dark road. God damn it, I can't leave town because Obama's visiting. Thanks, Obama.
Yeah.
I think even the titles that were going to sound disappointing had something to offer. And Evan, let me bring this example up. Sniper Ghost Warrior 3. Now, when you think of the Sniper series, you're thinking, oh, this is just second rate, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right, like, exactly.
Michelle started talking like it's the next coming of Sniper games.
Yes, it is.
It is that good.
It is. They worked hard on this one.
That's good.
And they gave me props because I was the first person to beat that demo that day that they showed it to me. Because I'm like, it is that hard. They're like, if you're good enough, you only need to fire one bullet to kill your target and get the hell out.
That's great.
All on your own. No help, no support. You are in the middle of hostile. It's like behind enemy lines. You're in the middle of a country. You may have someone talking in your ear, but you know they ain't gonna send a gunship to come, you know, support. You know, no AC-130 is gonna come overhead and give you covering fire. It's you, your wits, your skills, your training. I adore that. As I told them, as gaming's tried to be more accessible to bring in a new audience, I love that developers still make hardcore games for hardcore gamers, even
absolutely.
In 2015. And I love that. It makes me so passionate and proud to be, you know, a shooting fan because there's such a great diversity. Specifications, like, because anybody could play Doom 4. That's gonna be a great game, but not everybody could play Sniper Ghost Warrior 3.
No, you gotta be hardcore gamer, and this is why I hate when people review games like Sniper Ghost Warrior or Sniper Elite and be like, "Oh, it's so hard. I'm gonna give it only a 4.5 out of 10."
Bad at the game.
It's only bad because you wanted it.
Press are bad at video games.
It's only bad for you because it's not Call of Duty.
You know, how many people took like a healthy shit over Ninja Gaiden because they couldn't beat the goddamn game? The first time? I get mad at games too. You should see how many controllers I destroyed. It's kind of ridiculous. But, you know, it's the fact of the matter is it's part of your job.
Yes.
And also, you'd be surprised how quickly you can adapt to something. Like, I'm playing my Guitar Hero Live demo, right? Back to Guitar Hero Live, by the way. Sorry. Pretty good game. I really don't have any problems with it. But I'm playing it, and I'm going through like the regular mode, and it almost feels like the easy mode. And the developer's like, you know what? We're going to bump you up to advanced. Now, this is my first hands-on with the game, and they're already bumping me up to advanced. I'm like, I'm going to get fucking murdered. But, you know, I actually got through it, and I nailed it. And they're like, well, you want to try expert? I'm like, what, am I stupid? No. But I'm just telling you. But it's just cool how you can adapt to certain experience. Like, you know, some of these games, you know, yeah, they're hard as hell, but you can adapt to certain things. Like, you know, Batman Arkham Knight, the Batmobile challenges are ridiculous if you don't know how to have a good switching finger or anything like that. But there's so much more you could do in the game. I mean, like, all these adaptive experience, like Forza Motorsport 6, which I think is my favorite racing game of the show, by the way. I enjoyed it. You can, you know, adapt to difficulty. You can change up, like, systems, everything like that. You can adjust the difficulty of the avatar, or the drivatars, rather. So if you want Evan, like, trying to bash you off the goddamn road and hit him in real life, then there you go. I mean, a lot more of these developers are going for adaptive experiences. Some of them remember what hardcore players are like, and I think that's what Sniper's team has in mind.
Exactly.
Yep.
Now, as for me, I do just have one disappointment, and it involves a company that I really like, the company Blue, who've always made some great mics. I usually use them for my podcast, but I'm not using them now. For this show because the HyperX Cloud 2 is so much better for Skype stuff. So they're showing off their first ever gaming headset. It's got like that 7.1 digital surround sound. It's got that powerful, makes it feel like you're within the game itself. And I put them on. I'm starting to play Advanced Warfare with it. It's just, oh, yes, it sounds great. But the more I'm wearing it, imagine if the Toxic Avenger was slowly squishing your head almost to the point of it exploding.
Oh, dude, no. I have dealt with my fair share of uncomfortable headsets, and I agree with you. I mean, it's just the Oculus had a better feel to it. You know, it's like a lot of these companies are really going for that. But Blue, I don't know. It's almost like Virtual Boy for your ears.
Yes.
The effect of Virtual Boy for your ears, like crushing your ears to the point at which you hate your head.
Exactly. So maybe they may fix it on the next one, but I'm just saying right now, Blue really needs to step up their game when it comes to that being a comfortable headset. Not to mention making a headset that actually has a microphone with it, a Blue quality microphone.
Yeah. Actually, now that I think about it, there is one minor disappointment with me. I loved Rock Band 4. I love Harmonix. They threw a great Rock Band party, was there and everything like that. But their booth placement, like, dude, by midday, you can't really see too much of the screen because the sun's just like blaring right on you.
Ooh.
It would have been better to put that in the main hall of the South Hall inside. You know, it would have been better to like have it indoors and everything like that instead of putting it like on the stage where you can't see anything. I mean, it's a great game and I'm looking forward to it, but it's like when you place a booth outside, I mean, number one, you're probably going to drive PR guys nuts because they got to stand out in the sun. Number two, the instruments are going to get hot. And number three, like I said, the glare is going to come off the screen. You're not really going to be able to see much of anything.
And they were having some
audience that you could have had because a lot of people hang out in that South Hall area. And they could have been like, oh, hey, free impromptu concert.
I'm only going to
stand out in the hot sun.
Hey, Robert's singing. I'm going to get my camera out. It'd be great.
And here's the thing, too. While I was, because I was down there, I was eating my lunch and everything while they were doing all that. And like half the time while I was witnessing this happening, their sound wasn't working. Like, they would start doing tribute by Tenacious D, and all of a sudden, the song would just cut out, and, like, all the players would be like, wait, what the hell just happened?
And that was out in the sun, you know? Yeah. Like, if it was inside, they would have been able to fix that stuff. And you couldn't really hear people singing. It sounded like the vocals from the game.
No, that too.
I noticed that, too.
I was like, wow, that woman sounds like Gwen Stefani. Oh, it is Gwen Stefani.
Yeah. It's not the guy. Yeah, it's kind of weird, because there's a dude singing. What's going on? But, you know, I mean, aside from that, you know, like, booth placement, there was a lot of stuff at booths, but it's also cool how companies divided off into secondary booths. Like, for instance, Activision. They had a big booth with Black Ops 3, the new Destiny spinoff, the Taken King, the new extension, rather, Skylanders. They had all that stuff at their booth and Guitar Hero Live. But what they didn't have was Transformers Devastation and Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5, as well as King's Quest. So they put those off in a side room, and you know what? I have to admit, those should have been part of the main booth because I didn't have a disappointment with any of those games. Transformers feels like Optimus Prime mixed in with Metal Gear Rising Revengeance. The combat is very cool. You know, and Pro Skater 5, I don't know if either of you played it, but I had a blast with it.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to hand on play it, but like you said, I was in that back room and they showed me someone demoing it firsthand, and yeah, it looked just like the Pro Skater I grew up with.
Yeah,
I'll be honest. Like, I wish EA would have announced a new skate for all the fans, but I suck.
Yes!
And I am a Tony Hawk guy, 100%.
I hear you. But no, I mean, Pro Skater 5 should be a lot of fun. And then King's Quest, you know, and I'm not just saying this because I'm friends with the community manager, Nicole, over there. She is a sweetheart. But, I mean, I'm saying this because it's actually back to the old school King's Quest, and it's funny as hell. Like, I keep trying to go down this path and everything, and all of a sudden Christopher Lloyd's like I said, I'm going east, and I keep going west. All of a sudden, a wind of gust blew me east, and I'm like, I don't have a choice. I'm going east. It was great. It was hilarious. And I had to leave that one early, sadly, but I was like, it's really cool how Activision divided them up so it didn't, like, you know, overcrowd its booth. I kind of think there could have been a place for them, but that's neither here nor there. The games were there, the games were playable, and the games were awesome, so I can't complain.
And I guess I do also have a minor complaint about placement, and it does involve Nintendo. Now, one game that I've been waiting for to come out, and they announced it officially in the Nintendo Direct, is Yo-Kai Watch. This is the biggest game right now over in Japan. Biggest game, biggest anime series, and a film series that's actually beaten box office records once held by Hayao Miyazaki. So you know how popular that this is. the only way you can play Yo-Kai Watch is if you find one of the booth girls holding the traveling 3DSs.
That was cool, though. I liked the fact that you had to look for it. You know, like, but because I spent so much time looking for Devil Sir, and I was disappointed when I didn't find it.
Yes,
I watched, but like, oh, thanks. Yeah, I'll check it out. Sure.
But
yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
But Yo-Kai Watch is standout phenomenal. I feel like it could be. If they market it right, if Nintendo market it right, I think it could be more popular than Pokemon. Hasbro's already gotten the toy and anime rights, so you know that they're going to get that Pinkie Pie Optimus Prime money back in that Yo-Kai Watch.
Well, dude, remember a long time ago when Pokemon was just getting its feet wet, and now what? It's making billions.
Mm-hmm. The same thing's going to happen with Yo-Kai Watch. But I was just a little disappointed that they didn't have a special booth for this game, because it's certainly going to be one of the next big things. It's going to be one of those situations where you're not going to be able to go anywhere without seeing something Yo-Kai Watch related.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a cool little franchise. I mean, I just hope Nintendo markets it the right way. Because, like,
same here.
Because they have that new Animal Crossing Amiibo party and everything like that. And that's another reason people were complaining, because it wasn't a traditional Animal Crossing game for Wii U. But so what? You know, it's still a pretty good game. It's just a matter of how they're going to market it the right way. If they can do it like they did Splatoon, with the right amount of advertising, both online, both TV, if they can do it like that, I think the game's going to be fine.
Same
with Yo-Kai Watch.
Mm-hmm. Now, where did you say you found Devil's Third? Because I was looking everywhere for that.
For what?
Devil's Third.
Devil's Third wasn't on the floor. That's what I was mad about. That's another minor disappointment, because I played like some of it like last year, and I thought it was great. I mean, you know, like, how often does Nintendo really advertise mature games aside from Bayonetta 2? Not often at all. Yeah. I would have liked to have seen it on the show floor and announced for an August release date, but there was no sign of it. There's no sign of it at Gaki, unless he was hiding in a limo again.
Because he's the one who wears like those pointy white like shoes all the time. Because I saw him last year at the Nintendo booth, and I saw him this year at the Atlas booth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the Atlas booth was kind of cool. I mean, it wasn't, you know, it looked like a big old cubicle and everything like that, but the Persona games and everything else that they had on the floor was pretty cool. And I'll tell you this, God, Xseed Games, God bless them, they brought Earth Defense Force back.
Yep.
PS4. You know what? There is no greater feeling than shooting a grenade launcher and bringing down 5 buildings on top of bugs. I'm not saving the city, but I'm saving the world.
And I have to give props to Xseed Games, because they're bringing back a series that it may not have been the best game series out there, but I had fun with the Wii version of it, Onee-chan Bara. Zombie Bikini Slayers. I had so much fun with the Wii version, and I really liked what they're doing with the PS4 one. My only complaint of it is that it's not multiplayer. You have 4 playable characters, and it feels like it's one of those games that I feel would have been a lot more fun if it was multiplayer, especially when you have a boss battle that's got that sort of Monster Hunter difficulty to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool to see. I mean, I guess that's one thing I am bummed out about E3. We don't have Kensha Hall anymore. Because back in the older days, well, I'm talking like, you know, like early 2000s, before everything got scuttle-butted with, you know, Santa Monica and the Booth Babes and all that, there was a place called Kensha Hall where the Japanese companies would bring their stuff out. And Guitar Hero originally made its debut with Red Octane. That place was magical. You know, you could just go down there and roam for hours with stupid technology and silly little games like Onee-chan Bara and all that stuff. I mean, I like the setup being back the way it is now, don't get me wrong, but I do wish they reopened Kensha Hall for a few companies that weren't lucky enough to get on the show floor. That's just my 2 cents.
Agreed.
Yeah. Too many amazing games are hidden away that you don't get to hear about until someone either breaks the story or they come out. And you're like, oh, I didn't even know that was at the show, because there's 500,000 other things I have to deal with. But, yeah.
All right. So what about what surprised you? Like, what came out of nowhere for you that you didn't expect was going to be good until you actually sat down and played it?
I think Guitar Hero Live for me. Because, like I said, this was going in with all the expectations. Why are they using concert footage? Oh, it doesn't have the 5-fret system. What's Skrillex doing here? You know, I was asking all these questions about how much it could possibly suck. You know, and then I sat down and played it, and it's actually got a lot more to it than expected. The guitar actually feels pretty good. The social channel is set up right. I mean, I even had a beer with the developers while I played. You know, they set up a sippy cup. They were awesome. And I got to play about, don't like with a straw in it. Be like, come on, man. You can this guitar solo, and it's hilarious. But no, I really think Guitar Hero Live is going to turn a few heads, and they're releasing it for Wii U. You know, like Activision skipping Wii U for the most part with Call of Duty and Destiny and all that shit. But, you know, they're going to have a Skylanders game with exclusive Skylanders. They got Guitar Hero Live coming out for it. So I think those are going to be good advantages toward the Wii U. So I think Guitar Hero Live is my big surprise. But if I had a second place game, when you hear the words Ratchet and Clank remake, do you expect, like, you know, like a magical, oh, this is going to be a whole new experience sort of deal? Or do you just expect, well, it's going to be HD?
I would say the latter, yeah.
Yeah, but then I played it, and it's freaking awesome. I was really impressed by how Ratchet & Clank looks so much better on PS4. It actually looks more like a Pixar cartoon now than the PS3 games. And I was, wow. And this is like this is back when Tools of Destruction looked pretty damn sweet on PS3. I mean, this is a step up from that. So that surprised me as well. So those are my two standout surprises in terms of, like, going in with low expectations and having my mind explode.
Right. Now, what about you, Boston J?
Yeah, I guess top of the list would have to be Unravel, because my co-host Paris actually had invited out to EA a couple weeks before E3 and played the game firsthand, but was like under a strict, you can't talk about this at all kind of thing. And I think the only question I asked him was like, does it have guns? He's like, no, it does not have guns. Just wait and see. That blew me the F away when I played that, because mm-hmm. I'll be honest, I'm not even much of a 2D platformer guy. I prefer 3D platformers. But when you put that level of atmosphere and technology and sound design, I don't think I've ever played a video game where I was afraid of a car until I played Unravel. When you're trying to cross the street and a car goes right over you and it scared the absolute bejesus out of me. And then I jumped when it thundered. Like thunder, like I'm a dog or something. Just like when you do that level of immersion for scale, that is the coolest thing.
Yes.
Like, you're afraid of crows picking up and carrying you away. You're fighting, like, you know, hedgehogs and moles underground and just all this completely crazy stuff that just totally works in a video game. That completely impressed me. I gotta agree with Rob. Guitar Hero Live blindsided me. Because I went in, I guess I missed the whole initial announcement, and I knew it was there, but until I put my hands on it, I was like, oh my god, I actually have to learn chords now. Because one of my best friends plays guitar like, you know, a savant, he's amazing, and I watch him, I'm like, man, that looks like it really hurt to hold your hand like that for long periods of time. He's like, yeah, you get used to it. But now playing Guitar Hero, I was like, oh my god, now I actually have to start training my fingers to be stronger to hold those different frets, because mm-hmm. I felt like I was playing Guitar Hero again for the first time, because I got really damn good at that game, like everyone else did, and now they're like, you know what, let's just start over, let's have a new experience with a new thing, and like you said, the fact that they have the channels so you can try the music out before you buy it, absolutely genius. I love that idea. I think it'll work really well for them. But I guess the biggest surprise for me, and this is probably like it took me by surprise ridiculously, was Black Ops 3, which is a game that I totally wrote off initially because
it's Call of Duty.
I love Call of Duty. I'm playing it since the beginning. I adore the series, but like for me, Call of Duty has always been a World War II game, and I really, really miss it being a World War II game. So when all the rumors were flying around the last couple of years that they were going to make World War II from Treyarch, I was getting so unbelievably happy, and then it's like, no, it's Black Ops 3, and I'm like, oh, great, more sci-fi stuff. Okay, but it wasn't
the four-player co-op. Sorry.
Yeah. Four-player co-op. I didn't get a chance to try that out, but I tried out just like the multiplayer, just like a standard like team deathmatch. But the level of control and fluidity that the game offered, blending that style of the Titanfall / Advanced Warfare navigation, and that really tight gunplay that Treyarch has been known for, plus all of the cool little gadgets, I was having way more fun than I thought I'd be. Because I went in thinking, oh, I'll get a match or two in just to be able to talk about it on my show. I ended up playing like 6 matches in a row. And I was like, wow, you know what? If you like Call of Duty, you are absolutely going to freaking love this game. And it's made me feel kind of bad because, you know, that same month, Star Wars Battlefront and Rainbow Six Siege come out, which are pretty much two of my favorite franchises on the planet. I'm playing the shit out of those games. But then I kind of feel bad, like, damn, I'm going to have to take time out to play Call of Duty because, like, you know, I always enjoy their single players. They're fantastic, ridiculous, over-the-top Michael Bay movies, and I love them. But the multiplayer, which I kind of, like, got bored of in Advanced Warfare pretty quickly, I don't think they're going to have that problem with Black Ops 3. So for me, what I saw was a decline in the series. I think people are only going to think that until they play it. I think Treyarch having that 3-year development cycle to make, as the developer told me, to make a full-fledged, you know, AAA game, it's going to surprise some people. So everybody that probably hears this that's probably has given up on Call of Duty, I would play Black Ops 3 before you say that, because it sold me. It completely converted my opinion on the game. When I put hands on, I'm like, oh, that's right. I play games because they're fun, not because of like, oh, I wanted it to be this or I want it to be this. No, if you put the controller in my hand and I'm enjoying what I'm playing, then I'm going to want to play more of it.
Yeah, not to mention the fact that Sony is going to benefit from that, because Microsoft kind of let the exclusive rights lapse, and now with Black Ops 3 and going forward, they're going to get the exclusive content first, and that's going to go a long way for them.
Absolutely.
Because I know a lot of 360 owners who, you know, were on the fence so long, they were like, well, I still don't see a reason to get an Xbox One. And I was like, to be honest, I really can't convince you for one, because unless you just absolutely have to know what happens to Master Chief, you know, there's really nothing else out there to make me go, you have to go buy an Xbox One right now. So a lot of them went ahead and just got the PS4 because of the hype surrounding it. And I got to admit, that was my first time playing Call of Duty on a PS4 controller, was Black Ops 3. It works fantastically. You know, I'm a Destiny PS4 player. That works great, but I didn't know that Call of Duty could work that well with a PS4 controller, and it surprised me. So I think there's going to be a lot of people who just say, you know what, I want to try something different. I'm going to go PS4. They will not be disappointed by, you know, the PS4 version of Black Ops 3 from what I played. But, you know, that's just the nature of how it goes. I mean, I just think that both systems have really started to hit their strides. Again, it's like, goes back to you look at Gears of War 4, you look at Uncharted 4, and you're like, my God, both of these reasons are the reason I became a hardcore gamer for these kinds of intense, cinematic,
absolutely
badass experiences with these amazing set pieces. I gotta give props to Gears again, because that was another instance when they're walking across that stone bridge and the thunder strikes and the lightning like breaks off part of the stone building and it crumbles real time. I'm like, wow.
It makes you flinch when you saw that.
Dude, I mean, it was crazy. I mean, the fact that the Gears 4 trailer focused on entirely new stuff instead of like bringing back, you know, Baird or whoever it was.
Yeah,
or,
don't
know,
rely on nostalgia to sell the product. Just be like, exactly. Wow. It's that oh shit moment when they first showed off Gears of War for the first time and you're like, that's on a console? Are you serious? I've never seen lighting and, you know, water refraction that good. And then here comes Gears of War 4 doing the same thing again. So we talked about it on this on our show, but if they're really going to push that survival horror vibe like they did with the first one, they're going to be very successful, because they've shied so far away from that in 2 and 3. But coming back to that, Return to Form and Uncharted 4 just going, you know, as we can all agree, batshit crazy with their chase sequences. No one else can match them designing a chase sequence. No matter if you have an Xbox One, a PS4, a Wii U, or a 3DS, you are going to be a very, very happy person by the end of this year. No question. Yep.
Agreed. So for me, for a couple surprises, we already talked about Sniper Ghost Warrior 3. The first surprise came for me was from NIS America, a game called Rodea the Sky Soldier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the thing I did not know about this until after my interview and all that was done, Yuji Naka is doing this game. Mm-hmm. Now, for those of you who don't know who Yuji Naka is, he was the reason why Sonic the Hedgehog was great from the 90s up to the 2000s. When he left, that's when the Sonic series went downhill. He was also responsible for Choo Choo Rocket and Billy Hatcher and the Giant Egg. And he designed this game. It was originally supposed to come out for the Wii, but by the time he was finished with it, the Wii had already had its lifespan. But then Kadokawa Games came in and was like, look, we'll bring it to the Wii U for you. We're going to help you out. We're going to remaster it. We're going to make it all HD. And it looks beautiful on the Wii U. The controls, it takes a little bit for you to figure out. But once you do, it's honestly the Sonic the Hedgehog game we've been wanting to happen for the last couple of years.
And considering like last year's Sonic game and the one before that, yeah, we need a game like that.
Yeah, and Rodea is going to deliver on that. And what I like too, and here's something I found interesting. The first press releases of Rodea the Sky Soldier, when you buy the Wii U version, you're also going to get the original Wii version that was never released. And on the Wii version, there's a multiplayer aspect that's not on the Wii U version. So there's a reason why for you to go and revisit the Wii version, not for nostalgia's sake, but
well,
because
you get it free with the Wii U version.
Yes.
Yeah.
You get it free with the Wii U version.
Which is awesome. I didn't know if you mentioned that. Sorry.
No, I did say that.
Well, I said it again because we were saying twice. I mean, this whole getting free games with retail releases, but we'll give them that.
So you get the Wii version of Data Sky Soldier with the Wii U version, and it comes with a multiplayer version that you can only experience in the Wii version. And I feel like that's going to give people a reason to revisit the Nintendo Wii or go into the Wii version on your Wii U. Mm-hmm. Now, for the second game that really surprised me, and I know I talked a little bit about this with you after E3 and such, but Sunrun Kagura Estival Versus. I mean, when I first saw like images of this game on like Senkaku Complex and stuff, I was like, you know what, this game's gonna be totally perverted. It's just gonna be a reason for a girl's clothes to fly off and everything. And it is. But oh my god, it is so much fun playing that game. Just throwing a punch and seeing like 30 people just fly out of the way. It's Dynasty Warriors, but with more fan service. And as naughty of a game it is, it was just stupid, ridiculous fun that I kind of felt like I needed to witness after playing something like difficult like Mighty No. 9, which Mighty No. 9 is awesome, but you got to go in there knowing that it's going to be Inafune difficulty. It's going to be a really tough game to play.
That's the point.
Absolutely. Yes, and it is the point. But after going from that and then playing something like Estival Versus and just smiling and having fun, I know it's not going to be a huge hit. It's probably not going to get the best reviews, but it's going to be the type of game where if you have a really shitty day and you need something to just put a smile on your face, that's the game that's going to do it for you. If you're a guy or a lesbian or you're bisexual, most definitely. Not for straight girls or social justice warriors, whatever you want to call them.
Well termed there, social justice.
Yeah, well termed.
Yeah.
Anyway, going back to getting games on top of other ones for free, I gotta admit I'm tempted to get Fallout 4 on the Xbox One. I've already pre-ordered the Pip-Boy edition.
Same here.
But yeah, you know, you get like Fallout 3 free with that.
Really?
Then if you get like Rainbow Six Siege on Xbox One, you get both Rainbow Six Vegas games for free.
I mean,
this whole backwards compatibility thing opens up this window for like freebies that really are going to drum up nostalgia. I'm kind of interested to see if you buy Call of Duty Black Ops 3 on the Xbox One, will you get a previously released Call of Duty Black Ops game for free? That'd be great.
Or maybe it might be more for PS4 if they're doing the exclusivity on that.
Yeah, maybe like another Call of Duty Classic or something. I'd see that.
But I like that. I agree with you, Rob. I like that trend because it's just that extra oomph to basically say, yeah, it's multi-platform, but look what you're getting on consoles. And yeah, I mean, again, exactly. Until I hear Sony come out and say, hey, we're matching that Fallout 4 mod availability, the Xbox One version has already taken the cake, in my opinion.
Yes.
So, you know, unless I plan on building a PC between now and then, which I'm very much on the fence for at this point after seeing so many amazing Oculus Rift and VR games, this year at E3, just wow, yeah. I mean, those announcements floored me. I mean, no one expected backwards compatibility. We all thought that was something that they'd be nickeling, diming us for the rest of eternity. And then Sony coming out and saying, yeah, we didn't think they'd say that. We can't do that. I don't know how they did it. Engineering magic, clearly. But
it's witchcraft!
Yeah, that puts a big fist in the face of PlayStation Now, which I've always thought was a terrible, terrible deal. You're better off just go buying a PS3 and just getting some cheap used games.
Exactly.
But yeah, this completely surprised me. I cannot wait for them to keep rolling out more and more 360 games to be available to be played on last generation. I think the kicker will be, you know, once Shenmue 3, you know, gets, you know, fully funded, and I do believe that was nothing more than a marketing tool using the Kickstarter, a very smart one at that, but they just had to prove to their investors, because yet again, the people making these decisions do not understand what gaming nostalgia is or what gaming passion or gaming hype. They just think about the dollar signs. Mm-hmm. So they were like, will Shenmue 3, will people even care about that? Yeah, people very much still care about that.
Oh, yeah.
So I think if Xbox One can say, hey, look, let's just go ahead, make the deal with Sega, because I know they have the rights for Shenmue 1 and 2 right now, and let's get Shenmue 1 and 2 on the Xbox One with your copy of Shenmue 3. So even people that are like, you know, cause I remember talking to people at E3, they were like, why is everyone so excited about Shenmue? And I'm like, it's kind of hard to explain. You had to have been there at the time and played it either on the Dreamcast or the first Xbox to have that experience where you're like, wow, I didn't know they could even make games like this. And so many people happen inspired by Shinmue. You could sit there and count the games all day long.
They patently started the whole QuickTime effect.
They invented the QuickTime event. Well, to be fair, Dragon's Lair did that first.
Yes,
But they took it and made it a completely amazing cinematic experience implemented into the gameplay, plus the open world, plus the activities you could do. I was a badass at arm wrestling. Can't wait for them to bring that back. But just the way the world was set up just works so well for that game. I don't even think they would really have to, like, reinvent the wheel. They just have to do that same thing and just put their stylistic touch to it. Because that's what Yu Suzuki was so good at, was taking an idea and just making it into a world. One of the first games to blend that line of, at what point does a game become an experience, become a movie? And then, you know, it blew me away.
Absolutely.
I cannot wait to see more about Shinmue 3. I know they'll be probably, you know, broadcasting the progress of the game very thoroughly over Kickstarter and the internet.
Absolutely. But
yeah, it just gives me pumped that, again, it all comes back to Xbox One taking that jump and saying, I know this is going to cost us some money, this is going to cost us a lot of engineers, a lot of sleepless nights, but this is what makes a difference, you know, because again, you got to think back, you know, we used to expect backwards compatibility, like it used to be a no-brainer, and now it's something that we are just accept that, you know, if you want that game again, go dig out the console. If you don't got it, yeah, we'll sell it to you. I don't care if you own it already. But, you know, props to Microsoft. I cannot wait to see how that plays out for them. But I think it's going to work out very, very well, especially in the case of the mod support for Xbox One. Because, you know, as a console gamer, mods, you know, that's just something I watch a YouTube video and be like, oh, that's cool. But, you know, I can't do that. But right. It looks like that's all about to change.
Exactly. And now I know that we're kind of running short on time. So I want to ask you, what's your pick for game of E3? That is the toughest question to answer, I know.
We're gonna be here all day.
all right.
What are our top games? How about we do that?
Okay, because
we try to pick only fucking one.
Seriously. All right, how about top five? Top five.
Okay, I'll let Patrick go first.
Ooh, top five. God, I got to run through all of them. For me, it's got to be Street Fighter V. I cannot overstate how much fun I had with that game, and it just, again, it murders me that I can't be able to play that until it's released. Until, obviously, we'll have the beta July 27th. I'll be playing Bejesus out of that, giving them my feedback. Definitely that one. Unravel, of course, completely, you know, amazed me from start to finish, from the announcement to the playing. Gotta give credit to Mirror's Edge Catalyst. I never thought we'd get to see another Mirror's Edge again, because it was such a unique, unusual style of game, but people were so passionate about it that, you know, it's really fun. It's the same concept, but they polish it up. The melee combat's better. The world is interesting. It's a prequel to the original, so people won't feel lost. I think that they did that exceptionally well. So many things. Fire Emblem Fates, I gotta say, for 3DS. Looks incredibly, incredibly fun. I'm a huge Fire Emblem fan, and that just got me excited to be a 3DS, because I'm a 3DS owner. I don't have a Wii U, sadly. I need to get one at some point, but just, I don't give my 3DS enough love, and it takes a couple of games, namely like Bravely Default and Pokemon and Zelda, but Fire Emblem Fates looks like another must-own 3DS game. Mm-hmm. And number five, gosh, that's so tough.
Gosh, game of the year.
Let's see. Oh man, I've played so many things. I guess I gotta give it to Ghost Recon. The scale of that world, of what they're going for, even in a pre-alpha state, when I was sitting there watching that behind closed demo of, you know, four people playing it real time in front of me, I was like, that's it. That's my kind of game. You know, that feels like the culmination of what they've been trying to pull off with Ghost Recon for years, is making you feel like you are in a war zone alone as a tactical unit. Kind of the same thing as the Sniper Ghost Warrior 3 mechanic, but you are a squad and you can just dominate with your superior tactics and training and all that cool stuff. So I know that one's way far off, but that really impressed me, the scale of having essentially... It looked like, I don't know how Bolivia is, I don't know how big Bolivia is as a country, but it looked like they got it pretty damn close in scale. Because it's an incredibly large game, can't wait to play it. So, gotta go with those five.
Alright, do you want me to do my top five while you still think of it?
I think my list is ready.
Okay.
I actually have six, I'm cheating.
Alright, fine.
So, I'm gonna pick two from EA. I'm gonna pick Battlefront, because it was quite impressive. I mean, just battling in Hoth was a lot of fun. I couldn't get enough of that. And Mirror's Edge Catalyst. That game was really surprising. I did not get to see Unravel, unfortunately, because I wasn't assigned it, but those two games really blew my mind at EA's booth. The next two are from Nintendo. Star Fox Zero, which I thought was very cool. I'm looking forward to seeing more of that, maybe some multiplayer. That would be good, too. Super Mario Maker, which is going to have this gigantic community. I can't wait to see that. And then just like two games I'm going to pick out of nowhere. Rise of the Tomb Raider from Microsoft. This is shaping up to be an incredible sequel. I mean, it's going to be a huge benefit to Microsoft. I can't wait to see how it goes. And For Honor from Ubisoft. That's going to be a multiplayer party. You know, I've already told Stone Chin, by the way, one of the coolest PR people you'll find at Ubisoft. I already said, I'm going to find you and I'm going to behead you. In a good way. So please, please, please don't take that as a psychotic threat. You know, really, it's that sort of game that just like redefines what a multiplayer experience is supposed to be. And it's just so much fucking fun. I'm looking forward to that. And a quick shout out to Assassin's Creed Syndicate, because that here's a series that's like, you know, running low on fuel and everything like that, and they're actually putting in some fresh ideas and making it fun again. They're ditching the online crap that killed Unity so badly. So yeah, you know, so I guess top seven. I totally fucking cheat. I don't care. I'm allowed seven.
Yes. All right, so for me, I got to start with Mirror's Edge Catalyst because Mirror's Edge was the very first game I ever bought in PS3, and for me to be able to be playing the sequel many years after the fact, I was just floored by the quality, the beauty, almost photorealistic world of the City of Glass, just running around, parkouring all over the place, and then the combat system in that is just amazing. Just watching Faith just punching a dude right through his helmet, through his glasses, and seeing it just shatter all over the place. I'm just happy that I'm finally actually getting to play a sequel to this game, or prequel, or just story, whatever you want to call it. I'm stoked for Mirror's Edge Catalyst. Yo-Kai Watch, again, this is a series I've been watching very closely since I was hearing about it over in the other side, over in Japan. Finally be able to play the 10-minute demo, because Level 5 usually likes to do that at conventions. He gives everyone 10 minutes to play the game. Loving the battle system, loving how you can power up the characters. It's going to be a top contender or a top competitor for Pokemon, which is ironic considering Nintendo is also releasing Yo-Kai Watch over here. So they got two competitors within the same company. So I don't know how that's going to happen. I'm going to say Edge of Nowhere on Oculus. I had no idea what to really expect when it came to a third-person experience on a virtual reality thing, but being able to see what it was like, just traveling through the snowy, like, Arctic, wherever it was, seeing these monsters chasing the character, chasing me, and then just at the end, being engulfed by the tentacles, a very H.P. Lovecraftish sort of storytelling it seems like it's going to go for. I loved that whole experience. I did not know what to expect, but after playing that, I feel like this could be a game changer when it comes to third-person experiences. I know game changer is a word that gets thrown around so many times that that's become almost meaningless, but Edge of Nowhere, it's going to turn a lot of people's heads when it finally comes out. So for my other two games, I will have to say, this is hard. I'll have to give it number four to Mighty Number Nine, because as someone who backed the Kickstarter for this one, and to be able to actually finally play this game, it is truly the Mega Man successor that Keiji Inafune really wanted to make, and the different power-ups, how it plays, the way you can take away these robots' other powers and use them for your own, which is a little bit of like what Mega Man has done, but it feels a little bit different here in Mighty Number 9. But I have one of those sneaking suspicions that Mighty Number 9 is one of those games that when I get it, I may not ever beat it because of how difficult it is. And I guess for number five, and this is the game number five for my pick of games that I really loved. It was in the Atlas booth that didn't get a lot of notice. It's from Ace Team, the guys who did Rock of Ages, a game called The Deadly Tower of Monsters. And what it is you're playing a really bad B science fiction film, and as you play, like, the director is giving commentary on the film or the video game. And what I love about this is it is cheesy to the max. There's nods to, like, Harryhausen's, like, stop motion. Like, the monsters and dinosaurs and the King Kong that you face off against, they all look like they're like made out of clay and in stop motion. And as someone who loves those really stupid films, I just couldn't help but just laugh and enjoy the ride that this game was bringing to me. And not to mention the corniest of dialogue, like so corny that you could just imagine that Joel or Mike and then Tom Servo and Crow are just going to appear on the bottom right hand screen and just start making fun of it. And I'm just happy because for years I've dreamt of there being a sort of video game where you're playing a really, really bad science fiction film, and the Deadly Tower of Monsters seems to be delivering that. And those are my top five picks of games that really made me happy, with an honorable mention, of course, of Senran Kagura Estival Versus. Mm-hmm. Whew! But yeah, a lot of good games.
So many. Too many. Well, not too many. That's why we do this.
I'd rather have too many than not enough.
Exactly.
And finally, we feel like we can start to fill out the slow summer months with more of these games that don't need to be forgotten in the holiday rush. And thank God developers have started, and publishers have started figuring that out. Look, we want games year-round. That's why we play games.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I think that's what EA hit, or not EA, E3 hit the nail on the head. They brought in a lot of good games that I'm sure that everybody is going to be excited to play, and I feel like there is going to be no room for disappointment, and E3 2015 delivered that, and I am curious to see how E3 is going to top it next year. Can it be next year already, please?
Yeah. Well, sure.
They already gave the date. It's going to be June 14th to 16th of next year. So.
Yep, so pretty close again.
Mark calendars.
Absolutely. Well, Pastor J, DCD, thank you so much for joining us here on this special episode of B3. A little bit of a collaboration between B3 or A-List Daily. What was the other website that you were running for, too, DCD, at the time?
Well, I was also doing stuff for Game Crate and Retro Magazine and A-List Daily.
All that stuff.
Oh, and Prima, of course.
And Prima, of course, too. And, of course, Gamertag Radio. Why don't you guys do a little bit of shameless plugs right now for our listeners to check out your written and audible works?
Didn't I just do that by mentioning the website?
Yeah.
I'll do it again.
Yes, do it again.
A-List Daily, Game Crate, Retro Magazine at readretro.com. I'll give some thanks. It was always good seeing you guys. Evan, I want to thank you for getting my back and a beer when I was out of cash.
That absolutely sucks. No problem.
I'll get you back. But also, seeing the Gamertag Radio guys, Patrick and Ugly Paris. He knows what he means. Just seeing a bunch of old friends, making some new ones. I mean, that's the cool experience about the show. We see a shit ton of games, And it is hard work, but we also go to parties, we get together with people, we have a good time. There wasn't really a negative vibe in the bunch, And also, some news that went down before we went to NE3 was like Steptoe, who is one of the guys who previously worked on the podcast with Major Nelson. Let me get his full name here. Stephen Toulouse. I'm sorry. It's slipped my mind. I'm still kind of fried. He went into a coma before the show started, just a couple of days before. But he's recovering now. And a lot of people are showing their support with donations, everything, take care of his family, anything while he goes through his recovery. So while it was sad that he wasn't at the show, he's recovering, and it's all good news. And it shows how tight-knit our community is between, these people who are supporting somebody who couldn't be there and the people who go to the event and don't act like dicks, the difference between the trolls and the people who actually care about this industry, it's like night and day, because I'll tell you, there was, more excitement with people on this show floor than there was online. And it's just really great to see all these friends come out and just be positive, I think this is one of the more positive events I go to.
Yes.
Compared to the bullshit San Diego Comic-Con, Or any of the drama that goes down to PAX. It's like this was just really a good event. So I want to thank everybody that got to see and all that, and the companies that supported us with appointments and everything. And we'll do it again next year.
Absolutely. All right, Paws and Jay, make your magic work right now.
I don't think I said it better than Rob. That's why I love our community so much, so tight. And we knew it. Everybody knows each other, and we're all so cool and friendly. But you can find me at gamertagradio.com, where you have our weekly Gamertag Radio podcast. You can also find us on iTunes, you can find us on Stitcher, you can find us on Spotify. We're under the new cbsplay.it, so you can also find us at play.it as well. But again, we're on a little bit of break because there's a little, as Rob said, we're just a little fried from E3. We got to recover a little bit because there's too much information to process and go through. But yeah, just my favorite E3 I've ever been to. I cannot wait for next year. It's going to be absolutely insane. I already know it. But yeah, so many games to get to play, and starting with Batman on Tuesday, and it's not going to stop until December 31st. I already know it. So yeah. Bring on the games. I'm ready to play them. Let's get some gaming, man. We need to play some games.
Absolutely. Yes, and also a great shout-out to the journalism community within E3. It's always great seeing you, DCD. It's also great seeing you, Poston. It's great seeing everybody and meeting new people. I mean, this was the first year where, you know, the store game over in Europe, it's like their GameStop. This is the first year where their Spain division came over, and I met a really cool person over there by the name of Laura. Shout-out to her because she was really awesome to hang out with, not just in like the press booth, but also at the War Gaming Party. War Gaming Party was where it was at this year. My God, that was so much fun. Even if I was just sitting down all the time because I was so exhausted from E3 previously, that was such a great party, and Galantis, a great band that you should check out. So...
Oh, yeah, Wargaming's party blew, like, friggin' Twitch's party out of the water in terms of, like, pacing and all that stuff. I'm not bagging on Twitch. They're a great company. I'm just saying, in terms of party, I think Wargaming had the best one out there.
Absolutely. And now, so for my listeners who, I don't know why you guys don't know about it yet, but for the recent news, reviews, podcasts, episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, or if you have any questions for our friends Sawa-sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. You can find me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, and on Twitter at king_baby_duck. Like us on facebook.com/bostonbashbrigade, and facebook.com/Land of Esh. For all other articles under the gaming and geek realm, go to egmnow.com/Electric Sisterhood, and don't forget about all the other shows under the Land of Esh, including the Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues Program. And Poston J, DCD, thank you again so much for joining me here on this post E3 show. I know we're still really exhausted from it, but man, was this year at E3 totally worth it?
Yep, absolutely. It was.
Yep. It's why we do what we do. It's why we drag ourselves from every corner of the country, and why people come from all over the world. It's for this. That's why the games are amazing.
I know. And for DCD, you do so many conventions, and for you to be able to still have so much energy to do all that, man, I got to tip my hat to you because I don't know if I could do a convention every other week.
Well, I'm getting to the point where I can't. I am so tired. But yeah, I appreciate being on the show. Thanks for having me, guys.
Anytime, yeah, man. So. Not at any time. So, for our listeners, until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
That's Poston J.
Sorry.
I'm
Poston J.
Oh, we just heard you. No, you're just introduced yourself instead of me, you bastard. I'm the DCT.
Reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a gamer. But it sure helps. But you know what? You can also be a bastard anywhere you want to be. But again,
don't be a troll.
Yes, do not be a troll. It's okay to be a bastard. Don't be a troll. I think I may need to rework my catchphrase out with that, man. Thank you. So, yes, good night, and keep on gaming.